All right, let's see how you did. We're building up on the book of 1 John, chapter 5, verses 15 through 21, on the thought spiritually informed in this world. Number one, which verse within this passage contains the word world? That's verse 19. What condition is the world in according to this verse? Wickedness. The Bible says, that verse says, it lieth in wickedness. What is the overwhelming theme of these verses? We know. How are we able to determine that it is the theme? By how many times it's repeated. So the Holy Spirit, through John, is emphasizing the knowledge of God. Okay, the knowledge of God. All right. Number three, what in this case do we know that God is saying to the reader? He's saying to us who are reading it that we need to know more. We need to embrace scripture more. We need to embrace spirituality more. We need to know more. Number four, everyone on earth is a spiritual being having a fleshly experience. Number five, what we know has an immediate and profound impact on how we think and what we do. This is why we need to know more. This is why we keep finding this repeated phrase in this book, this chapter, in these verses. Number six, reading and comprehending verse 15, what comfort do we gain from it that God answers prayer? And that's very important when we encounter issues and problems. And, that we have immediate access. It doesn't have to be on a schedule. We can talk to God anytime, anywhere, for any reason. And the Bible says that when we ask it in His will, He'll hear us and we will have the petitions that we desire of Him. That should comfort you. Number seven. Psalm 32 indicates three facets of sin, which is sin, the act that we actually commit in our physical bodies, okay? Transgression, which occurs in the mind, and iniquity, which we carry in our nature, our sinful nature. Number eight, how often does the Holy Spirit sin? Never. Number nine, can the Holy Spirit sin while He is inside a Christian? The answer to that is no, absolutely not. Number 10, read Romans 7, verses 15 through 20. You all will love that passage. In the English Standard Version, so you can Google it, just type in Romans 7, 15 through 20. Space ESV, okay, and you can do the same thing with the NLT, the New Living Translation, and just read it very carefully, and then combine that with 1 John 15, verse 5, verse 18a, all right? And the question is, in these verses, what part of a believer sins? And the answer to that is the sinful nature or the flesh. Number 11, when a true believer sins, what is God's response? Because you have the Holy Spirit within you, His response is that He abundantly pardons. He abundantly pardons. It's very important for us to understand that when we're saved, we should not sin by practice, okay? We shouldn't sin by profession, which means this is something that we do all the time. though we are not sinless, we should always be sinning less. Okay? And as we grow in Christ and as we embrace the Word of God and allow it to change us, allow it to convict us, then we become better. We become better and we do better. And sin has less of a grip or hold on us, and therefore we sin by accident, okay, an isolated act rather than a repeated offense, okay? And when a person slips and falls, be it in their thoughts, be it in their acts, you know, the Lord will abundantly pardon because he understands how we are made. And this is why he sent Jesus Christ. So that ought to help you. Number 12, true or false? Christian morality is made possible by what God takes out, not by what he places within. If false, correct this statement. That statement is false. Okay? The Lord doesn't take anything out of us. What he does is place his Holy Spirit within us, giving us the ability to do what we otherwise could not do. Christian morality is made possible not by what God takes out, but by what he places within. That's the correct way that it should be stated. A point of clarity, too, that will help us to understand this is Pentecost. The apostles, which were originally disciples, were able to do things after Pentecost that they otherwise were not able to do before Pentecost, because at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit took residence within them, giving them the ability to do what they otherwise could not have done. And all of us, we experienced Pentecost individually when the Holy Spirit came into our lives when we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Okay? Number 13, read Romans 8:15 with 1 John 5:19. Romans 8:15 talks about the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Okay? Then 1 John 5:19 talks about we are of God. So the question is, how do believers become of God? By the spirit of adoption. God our Father adopted us. The only begotten Son is Jesus Christ. All of us are sons and daughters of God by adoption. He picked us. How does this occur? It occurs when we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior. Okay, so John 3:16 says that he picked us, okay, but we in turn had to accept him as Lord and Savior. Number 14, as we live life in this world, should the believer find any comfort from knowing that Jesus, the Son of God, is already present within us? That's verse 20, and the answer to that is yes. He's a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. He is our high priest and was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sins. So he knows what we're going through. He knows. And because he has already been here and got the victory, he's overcome the world, then you and I will overcome because we believe in him. This is Pastor Morris. I love you. Bethel of Brooklyn. Until next time. Bye-bye.